in lesson 12, the law of the harvest. If you didn't get a paper, please raise your hand, and we've got a few extras up here. If you need a paper, need one back there, Brother Tom, William. Anybody else need a paper? One over here. But we want to make sure everybody's got a paper to fill out, take notes, and I hope those are beneficial to you. You can go back and look at your notes and study out these things that we're going to learn about tonight a little deeper. We're coming towards the end of this study of transforming truths, and we've just been looking at one or just a few verses each week of great truths from the Word of God. Challenged to memorize these verses each week and learn about those things. Last week, we learned about grace for every need. Remember, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed God would remove it, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Tonight, we come to the law of the harvest, and I'll just go ahead and tell you that this truth that we're going to study tonight is one of the most exciting and one of the most terrifying truths in the Scriptures. It's at the same time terrifying and exciting, and I think you'll know what I mean in just a moment. Let's stand, if you're able, Galatians chapter 6. We'll read verses 7, 8, and 9. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. And the Word of God says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help me to teach it tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit. Please forgive the sin that's in my heart and my life. And help me, Lord, to be faithful to you, to sow that good seed of faithfulness to you. Lord, please help all of us to repent of our sin. And Lord, help us to sow good seed and be faithful in that sowing, Lord, that we can reap a great harvest for your honor and glory. Please help now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. On the earth, we have some things that are laws. In science, there are theories and then there are laws. One law is the law of gravity. Gravity is not something that can be argued. It's not something that can be negotiated with. It's just a law. What goes up must come down. It's the way it is. And in the Word of God, there is a law that we're going to learn about tonight. And that law is, we will reap what we sow. Now, it's an exciting truth because it gives us confidence to know that when we labor for the Lord, when we sow good seed, God promises that we'll reap a good harvest. It's terrifying, though, because when we sow wicked seed, when we sow in the flesh, we're going to reap that harvest, too. Amen. And so we want to be challenged tonight from the Word of God to sow the right kind of seed. Tonight we're going to learn that we reap what we sow, we reap later than we sow, and we reap more than we sow. So let's get into it now. Number one on your paper, you reap what you sow. Letter A. See your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. Think about this. Everything that we do, every moment of every day, we are planting seeds. Every thought that we think plays a role in our character and is a seed that's sown that's going to mature. Now, think about it for a second, because our thought life affects everything in us. And somebody once said, as a man thinketh, that's what he is. So we've got to think about this. When you dwell on past hurts, if somebody did you wrong in the past and you think about that all the time, what's that going to do to your character? What's that going to do to your spirit? That's going to make you bitter and make you angry. And so when you think on past hurts, it's going to hurt you. If you have lustful thoughts and you allow those to continue, it's going to lead to an immoral lifestyle. If you're a daydreamer and you're always just fantasizing about stuff that doesn't matter and you're not taking care of business, you're going to neglect your responsibilities. And we can become infatuated with things that don't really matter and things of the earth to the point that they become idols for us. And so our thought life is absolutely vital, and the thoughts that we think are seeds that are sown in our life. Now, we've studied this before, but can I remind you, Philippians 4:8 gives us an idea of how we ought to think. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And we ought to filter our thought life through those things. And if we're thinking something that's not pure, we need to stop thinking about it. We'll start thinking about something that's pure. If we think about something that's not of good report, if we're thinking of something that's of an evil report, then we need to stop thinking about it and change our mind to something good. Now, I want you to know that the reality is these are things that all of us struggle with. Amen. Our thought life. And it's important that we think the right kind of things. James chapter 3, verses 4 through 8 talks about not just our thoughts, but our words. We need to think about the things that we say as seeds that are sown. In James 3, verses 4 through 8, it says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And our words, our tongue, the things that we say, are powerful. Our tongue, it's a small part of us. But not just the things that we think, but the things that we say, the things that we say are a seed that's sown. And finally, our actions. Obviously, the things that we do are seeds that we plant in our lives. Our actions matter. What you do matters. It doesn't matter whether anybody else notices what you do. God sees everything we do. Amen. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And you know, so many times we're just like little kids. Sometimes my kids will try to sneak to do something. I know your kids never have done anything like that, but my kids, sometimes they try to sneak to do things. And they're not really all that good at it, which I'm kind of glad for. But we're a lot like them. We think we can get away with stuff because we'll look this way and that way. But we need to always remember, if you look behind you, if you looked over your shoulder, if you looked all around, don't forget to look up, because God is always watching. Amen. What we sow in our thoughts and our words and our actions are what we do. Those are seeds that are sown in our lives. Stephen R. Covey, businessman who's wrote a lot about business, but he said this: "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." And what he's done is just expanded on biblical truth. The fact is, what you do, what you think, and what you say, and what you do in your life is going to reap something. Something is going to come to pass from everything we say, everything we think, and everything that we do. You reap what you sow. Letter B, see God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. Okay, if this is a law, you reap what you sow, then who's the one that's making that law come to pass? Who's the one that's making this law be of effect? Well, God is doing that. God's the one who makes it happen. Listen, if you plant beans, you're going to get beans. It's the way God designed it. It's the way it works. You reap what you sow. And the same God who's sovereign over the garden is sovereign over our choices. If we sow the wrong seeds, we're going to get the wrong kind of plants. If we sow godly seeds, we're going to reap abundant fruit for the glory of God. And we propose our way, but God's the one who disposes the results. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And we've got our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own ways, but God's the one that's going to determine the outcome. You may think you can do one thing and get a different result, but God's going to be the one who's in control of what happens based on our choices. I want you to think about this sowing and reaping for a little bit. Think about Jacob for a moment. Was Jacob an honest man? He was? All the time? What's his name mean? Anybody? Israel? No, that's what God changed it to. Was Jacob always an honest fella? No, he wasn't always honest. He was a trickster, right? Well, think about it. He deceived his father in the very beginning, but guess what? It came back, didn't it? Amen. What happened when Jacob went out there to work for Laban so that he could get his daughter? He got tricked. Years later, Jacob was deceived again by his own sons. They lied to him about Joseph. Listen, when we're going to reap our consequences, and God's the one that's in control of that. Here's what I'm trying to get at. If I tell a lie, I don't know exactly how that's going to come back, but it's going to come back. Amen. But God's in control of that. Whatever sin that I commit against the Lord, if I do wrong, I don't know exactly how it's going to come back, but it's going to come back. The other side of it's true, too. When you do good, I mean, I know those guys on TV, and I know you love them, but listen, just because you send them $10 does not mean you're going to get $100 back. Amen. I know that's what they told you, but I'm just telling you. But if you give to God, He's going to bless that. Amen. I don't know how, but He will. Amen. Does everybody see that? The point of this is God's the one who's in control. He's sovereign over the choices that we make. Numbers 32, verse 23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So we're going to reap the consequences of our unconfessed sin. Now, how many of you would say that you think you've gotten away with sin before? Anybody? Come on, be honest. How many of you feel like you got away with some things? Randy Mitchell, you raise your hand. Thank you. Listen, I go back to stuff that I did, and I'm old enough now I can talk to my mom about it. It's a lot of fun. I got grandkids. We've provided grandkids, so she's not going to kill me or anything now. Now. But man, sometimes we'll get to talking and some things will come out about, you know, we said one thing was going on, but something else was going on. You know, that one trip when we had to take my cousin to the hospital, you know, there was one story that the parents got, there was another story that was the reality, and some of that stuff comes out. Why are you guys looking at me like this? like you don't know. Thank you, Brother Mike. I knew Mike would back me up here. Sometimes you look back and you think, man, we got away with some stuff. But listen, we don't get away with anything with God. Maybe you cheated on a test in school. Nobody would confess that in here right now. But maybe you did that and you thought, well, I got away with it. I never got caught. That'll come back on you. Maybe you cheated that teacher. Maybe somebody's cheated you down the road. And maybe that was God's design, that you reaped that, what you sowed all those years ago. Our consequences, I guess the point is, the consequences can come in a variety of ways. And so just remember, you're going to reap what you sow. So think about it. Think about every thought, word, and deed, and realize it's a seed. It's going to come back in some way. And if we're sowing sinful things, we're going to get back terrible results. And so we want to sow good seed. Let her see the conflict of the garden of your heart. See the conflict of the garden of your heart. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. So carrying out this picture that we're sowing and reaping, imagine your heart is a garden, and you can have the the lustful, fleshly seed, or you can have the spiritual, godly seed. And every day of our life, there's a battle. Are we going to give in to the flesh, or are we going to follow the Spirit? Now, how many of you would admit today that you have that battle inside of you every day?
Amen.
Okay, if you're over the battle, then that means you're dead.
Amen.
So everybody, whether you realize it or not, if you're here right now breathing, then you face that battle. And that battle changes as your life moves on. When you were, maybe some of you have been saved since you were very young, and the struggle you had very early was just whether or not to obey mom and dad or sneak around or whatever and try to get away with stuff. And then when you get a little older in high school and college, the battle's different. The temptations are different. And then you get older and maybe you get married and have kids and whatever. And as your life goes on, the battle changes, but the battle never goes away. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 50 years and you're 102 years old, there is still temptation and there's still a battle with the flesh. Everybody agree with that? See, I used to think that if you could just get past a certain age that it would go away, that the struggle would disappear, and it doesn't. And it's foolish to think that it does. And I've seen people who get on up there in years, and maybe they don't have the same struggles they did when they were younger, and they stop fighting. And I've seen people who have lost their spiritual battle because they didn't realize they had one to fight. So never think that your battle's over. Every day we've got a battle, and every day we've got this conflict in our heart, and we want to fight to plant the right kind of seed. If you want your new nature to plant the seeds, you have to purpose in your heart that you're going to allow God to work in your life. We've got to cast out the sin that's in our life. We've got to completely yield to the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And listen, this is a battle we've got to face every single day. And whatever day you decide not to fight that battle is a day you're going to lose. We've got to decide every day that we're going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm not even about to pretend that I win this battle every day. I lose the battle. I lose battle after battle. I lose maybe hours at a time, or maybe days at a time, or whatever. But we all face the battle, and we've all got to fight it. And can I challenge you with something? If you've failed, if you've fallen, if you've planted the wrong kind of seed, don't give up the fight. Get back up. Repent. Turn back to the Lord and fight the fight again. How many of you ever rode a bicycle? Some of you didn't raise your hand. Seriously, some of you never rode a bike? What in the world? Okay, how many of you loved riding a bike when you were younger? Man, I loved it. I put a lot of miles on a bike and a lot of gravel in my shins. And listen, when you first started to learn to ride, did you ever fall? Yeah, of course you did. And you had to get back up and go again. If you didn't get back up and go again, you never would have learned to ride and you never would have loved it. And guess what? Even after I'd been riding a bike for a long time, I still remember the last bicycle wreck I had. I don't remember how old I was. I do remember that I was wearing shorts and a tank top, though. I remember that well because of all the gravel I had to dig out of my arm and my shoulder and my knees. And listen, I've been riding for a long time. I mean, we jumped everything there was to jump around. I was a pretty decent bicycle rider, but I still fell. You know what? I got up, put the chain back on, and rode again. I had to go home and get the gravel out of everything. But we fall, and if you fall, get back up. Number two. You reap later than you sow. How many of you like to garden? Okay. How many of you had a successful garden this past summer? Nobody. Okay. How many are you gonna try again next year? All right. Remember that. I really love tomatoes. For anybody that is interested, just throwing that out there. Man, if you go out and plant a garden, how long do you have to wait before you can get something out of it? Listen, nobody plants a seed except for me today and goes out tomorrow to see if it's come up yet. I mean, that's the way I'm ready right now. Let's get it. But that's not the way it works. It takes a long time for the plant to grow and before anything's going to come off of it. And that, don't be deceived. Letter A, do not be deceived by delayed judgment. You plant in your garden, you don't expect something tomorrow. You expect it takes a while before that fruit comes. And you know what? The same thing's true when we plant seeds in our life, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Don't be deceived by delayed judgment. Just because you did something wrong yesterday and you didn't get in trouble today, don't think you got away with it. May I recommend to you that you don't wait around until God's chastisement comes to get right. If you did wrong, you know you did wrong. Get right. Get right. Ecclesiastes 8, 10 through 13 talks about, gives us an idea of this law of the harvest. He says, "And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." And listen, judgment may be gone away backwards in the world, but God's judgment is always sure. And we all ought to be very quick to repent. What did we learn in, what does our text say? God is not mocked. Letter B, do not be discouraged by present barrenness. Just like we don't reap the consequences of our sin right away, we don't always see the blessings from our godly actions right away. In other words, every time you share the gospel with somebody doesn't mean they're going to get saved right there on the spot. Amen. Every time you do something good for the work of God, every time you give in the offering, or every time you serve in the church, doesn't mean you're automatically going to see something right then as a result of that. Right. Some of you teach Sunday school or teach on the Wednesday night sometimes or whatever. Listen, you may teach kids for years and years and years. It may be a long time before you see any result of that, but sooner or later, some of those kids are going to get saved and they're going to get baptized. They're going to start serving the Lord. And one of these days, young people that you taught in Sunday school are going to be leading in the church. Amen. There's testimony of that in the room right now. Amen. And that's fruit. It took a while, but that's fruit from the labors that have been given. So don't be discouraged when you don't see immediate results. Sometimes, you ever feel like what you do for Christ doesn't matter? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like, man, I'm just, you know, I try to do what's right. I try to serve. I try to do what God wants me to, and it doesn't matter. But it does matter. And remember 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So what's that mean? What's it mean your labor's not in vain? Okay. Anybody know what vain means? Empty. Your work for the Lord is not empty. It's not in vain. It's not pointless. It's worth something. And so don't grow weary in well-doing. Letter C, do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Now, this is something that I struggle with, and maybe I'm not alone, but not always like Moses was. Moses chose to suffer reproach for Christ rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And many times in my life, I have chosen the pleasure of sin for a season rather than doing what God wants me to do. I'm not proud of that, but that's just the fact. And maybe we could blame it on our culture. Is that kind of American? I want what I want, and I want it now. Instant gratification, disposable everything. I mean, that's kind of the culture that we live in today. But God wants us to not focus on the temporal. He wants us to focus on the eternal. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We talked about Jacob a while ago. What about Jacob and Esau? Was Esau focused on the long term or was Esau focused on the short term? Well, yeah, he gave away his birthright for a bowl of stew, a bowl of pottage. He gave away everything to fill his belly right now. Now, was Jacob right to do that? Good business sense. Huh? Right? Okay. For Esau? Yeah. He made choices that he sowed seeds. But in that moment, when he comes in and he's hungry and he says, yeah, I'll give you some of this stew. Just give me your birthright. Okay. He was focused on the short term. And we look at that and go, how could you be so stupid? Well, guess what? I think I might ought to look in the mirror sometimes and say, how could you be so stupid? Sacrificing the eternal for a little bit of pleasure in the moment. It's foolish. Here's a good thought for you. The only thing stopping God from using you is you. Do you agree with that? See, I don't like that. I'd rather blame it on somebody else. Can I blame it on Obama? God would be using me if it wasn't for Obama. No? The liberals. Just all mainstream media. It's mainstream media's fault that God's not able to use me. I mean, I'd like to. I'd like to blame it on everybody else. I mean, that's what we like to do, right? I mean, the default position is it's my parents' fault. It's the way I was raised. Or we can blame it on our schooling, or we can blame it on our lack thereof. We can blame it on whatever we want to. But at the end of the day, when we stand before God in judgment, we're not going to be able to blame anything or anybody else. It's going to be us on one side and the Word of God on the other, and that's it. And so God's given us everything that we need to serve Him faithfully. And when I fail, it's my fault. Number three, you will reap more than you sow. Reap more than you sow. Anybody ever raise any corn? A few of you? How many kernels of corn does it take to grow one stalk? Just one? Makes that whole plant? And then you get no telling how many ears of corn off of that stalk. And each ear of corn has no telling how many kernels of corn. That one seed multiplies abundantly, right? And it isn't it that way with everything? I mean, what plant is there that we plant a seed, a single seed, and you just get one piece of fruit off of it? I mean, what is that way? I can't think of anything. And you plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree, you get dozens of apples over years and years. Watermelon, you plant one watermelon seed, grows a whole vine, you get lots of plants. I love watermelon too, by the way, just as a side note. Anybody's taking notes? Letter A, take every opportunity to plant good seeds. Anybody remember Ruth from the Old Testament? Ruth was a lady who planted a lot of good seed. Was she in a good position? No. She came from a pagan nation. She had this husband that died. And her brother-in-law died, and her father-in-law died, and her mother-in-law said, I'm going home, go back to your daddy. But she made a good choice because she said, no, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you live, I'm going to live. And your God's going to be my God. I'm going to stay with you. She made a good decision, and she continued to make good decisions. And every good thing that she did, it yielded good fruit. And Ruth, what a, man, awesome story. Study about Boaz and the kinsman redeemer of all of those great things. But you realize that the fruit of her decision to stay with her mother-in-law, we reap the benefits of that forever and ever. Because Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Man, how awesome. So you guys help me out for just a second. What are some ways that we can plant good seeds? We can witness. We can plant the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave tithes to the Lord. I'm thinking he did too. Amen. Amen. We can give. Give to the Lord.